yak babies, sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by the Sweat Factory. Compete for the crown of dampness. My name's Aaron, my personal pals, Dave.
Morning, boys.
Morning. It's afternoon. We have Brick.
Good afternoon.
Okay, thank you. And we have Old Irish Nico.
Good afternoon, boys.
Oh, great. Everyone's on the right page. This week, we're returning to our irregular series of kind of like a, I don't know what you call these, like genre breakdowns or sort of categories, I guess.
Call them yak picks.
Yak picks. Is that what we're calling them?
I think so.
Sounds really close to yak piss, but that's fine. So we're doing yak picks. We're going through categories of books and kind of choosing some of our favorite reads from that category just to, I don't know, kind of break out of some of our usual habits, maybe. We've done like science fiction before and literary fiction and all kinds of stuff. This week, our category of choice is fantasy novel. Now, Dave, before we were recording, you asked for a definition of what is a fantasy novel. So what are we saying? What are we counting as fantasy here? I mean, I think of, you know, swords and sorcery. And
swords
such,
and
right?
Wizards.
Yeah. Like barbarians and elves.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you got the high fantasy, low fantasy thing.
Yeah. What is that?
High fantasy is like swords and wizards and magic and all that. And then low fantasy is, well, I don't know, it tends to be more like grounded in reality, like medieval setting, but without the wizards and the dragons, is my understanding.
It's also an issue of scale, I think. Like, high fantasy would be Game of Thrones, where it's like world politics, and low fantasy would be like some shipbird in a city, like trying to survive.
What would you call or count as the sword itself? Because that seems like both to me.
What's the sword?
The
itself?
One we, the what, Joe,
was it
whatever
the blade itself?
We did?
The blade itself. Yeah. I think that would be somewhere in the middle. So that is actually. So he is kind of the pioneer of his own subgenre called Grimdark,
okay,
which is just like everything is fucked.
Gotcha.
But I would think that would tend more toward high fantasy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the official definition is that high fantasy is its own world and low fantasy is when magical creatures come into the real world.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Or magical elements.
So how would...
Like Harry Potter, I guess, would be sort of...
Yeah, so Harry Potter or Narnia books would be high fantasy because...
Low fantasy.
But they go into their own worlds and do that. Like, those things don't...
Yeah, but the real world exists in those books.
But it doesn't exist in those worlds. It's like, those are like the isekai, like, person brought into another place situation. It's because I mean, it's been a while since I read it. Like, Narnia and Harry Potter... Well, I guess in Harry Potter, it does bleed into the real world, doesn't it?
Well, Harry Potter is models. The real world. It's just there's, like, wizards that live here. But Narnia, it's like... There's a bridge to another world, but our world still exists in that. So, Nico, say you're saying that the existence of the real world that we understand to be the real world makes it low fantasy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we're just leading off with the exception.
That's the official definition that I got after well over 10 seconds of being solid.
Okay. And we're talking about both, right?
I mean, yeah, but whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Whatever you want.
Well, what is Alice in Wonderland, for example, a fantasy?
Sure.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be, like, you know, I think the most common, you know, is, like, the medieval European aesthetic, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can have, there's plenty of, like, Chinese fantasy, and then there can be stuff like Alice in Wonderland that is just kind of creating its own thing, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I guess there's still a queen and all that, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Brick, why don't you go first? I feel like I know what yours might be.
Yeah, I've tried a bunch to read... You know, kind of the more pulpy fantasy novels.
Mm-hmm.
I like wizards and swords and shit. I like fantasy games and movies. I just have the hardest time with the books.
Mm-hmm.
They just bore me, and it's probably just because I haven't found the right ones. But even when I try the popular ones, I don't like them. That said, there's some that I like. I assume you think I'm going to respond. Redwall?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I loved the Redwall books when I was a kid. I read one recently. I think it held up pretty good. I had a good time reading, and I want to read more. So yeah, those are my favorite. Read almost all of them. At least I read all of them up to the point that I stopped reading them regularly as a kid around, I don't know, 14 or so.
Right.
They're great. They're fun. Those books, you know, have lots of adventure and good characters and creative stuff and long passages about what they're eating, which obviously I enjoyed. And so they're pretty good. I also really liked I read it first in college, and I only read it once since, but I really liked the Lord of the Rings books.
Yeah, sure.
I had a good time reading those. I hated The Hobbit when I was a kid. Mm. In fact, I don't like The Hobbit movies, so I guess I just don't like The Hobbit. So I don't know why The Lord of the Rings was just so kind of like vast and complicated that I really enjoyed it. So that'd be a good one too. Though I tried it, I did not like the Game of Thrones books. I could not get very far. I'm trying to think of this.
Not trying to be obtuse or anything, but wouldn't Watership Down that fit into that category?
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, sort of. It's not what I wouldn't, you know, I think if you needed to put it in a category, fantasy would be it, right? But, so yes, but that's not, when I think of fantasy books, that's not the kind of thing I think of.
Right.
You know, because like, so the Redwall books are, yeah, it's animals in a forest and all that, but they're walking around, they got clothes and they got swords and they, you know, use cups to drink water and shit like that. And Watership Down, they're just rabbits that are personified with thoughts and language. They do actual rabbit stuff. They live in rabbit warrens. Their concerns are actual rabbit concerns. You know what I mean? So, I mean, maybe that's that high-low breakdown. If you want rabbit fantasy, the high fantasy would be Redwall, and the low fantasy would be Watership Down, I guess. Breakdown. In that case, that's my favorite, because as much as I love the Redwall books, Watership Down is one of my favorite books ever. So.
Right.
Yeah. I imagine someone else will talk about Harry Potter, so I won't mention that, but I do like Harry Potter.
Nico, I feel like you read the most fantasy of all of us, so I'm expecting you to have some deep cuts here.
It's a low bar, but yeah. Yeah. I did like the First Law, which is the series that the Blade itself was from. Mm-hmm. The one downside is that it's not at all a standalone first book, which
right.
I only remembered when we read it as a group, and it did not have a conclusion. But other than that, I think that one is great. That one, and I also really like shorter series, trilogies, maybe quadrilogies.
Yeah.
These 10-book series, I just never finished them. I tried The Wheel of Time when I was a kid. I made it halfway through the fifth book.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that everyone says is great, and I just couldn't. Do it.
I mean, everybody says, like, it's great if you power through the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th books.
That's a brutal thing to say to somebody.
Right. Then the last 5 books are good. And it's like, fuck me. Like, there's no way. There's no way on earth.
Yeah, because those books are all 900 pages.
Yeah.
Power through 4 massive novels to get to the good stuff. Like, okay, thanks.
And I tried the Stormlight Archive, too, the Brandon Sanderson epic series. I really liked the first book, kind of like the second book. Like the third book and completely fell off the fourth book because it just gets like more it's somehow like too complicated and also too repetitive, which is a weird combo. So like one of the reasons I like fantasy is because a lot of them they make good audiobooks.
Yeah.
If you kind of zone out, you're not going to lose that much. But that one, I felt like every time I paid attention to it, it would be going over the same shit that he just told me. Like, each character has one trait, pretty much, and, like, a distinctive way of speaking and thinking, which is good, I guess, but it could be really repetitive.
Yeah.
And also, he started bringing in unnamed characters from different series because they're all in his, like, universe. So he would bring characters from a completely different series and just be like, oh, that guy with the bells, and then you're supposed to know that that's some other character.
Wait, so that dude's fantasy books are connected to his space books, Sanderson?
No, he doesn't write space books.
Well, I mean, Didn't he write The Expanse?
No.
No, it's
that's very different.
How many
authors do you think there are in the world?
I don't know.
There's the other guy. It's part of the problem is like the naming convention, right?
Oh, that's right. James S.N.A. Corey.
James S.N.A. Corey, yes. Yeah.
So that one of them used to be George R.R. Martin's assistant.
Right.
But none of them have anything to do with Brandon Sanderson. But one of them, the Daniel Abraham, which I think is he's one half of James S.A. Corey. He wrote a series. I really liked one of them, and I didn't like the other, and I can't remember which is which. But I think it was The Dagger and the Coin was the one that I liked. And then there's The Long Price Quartet, which I felt like was slower, I think.
Hmm.
But I think the one I'm going to go with is the Rook and Rose series, which is just a trilogy, and it's finished, and it's like all about like this con artist girl, and it's much more about politics than like sword fighting, but it's really compelling and really inventive, and is kind of like takes the fantasy tropes and makes something very different with them.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than just like it's a war and that's what all the politics are about is war. And instead, it's like jockeying for possession, but she makes it like really compelling.
Yeah. Right. Nice. Dave, what about you? You feel like you're a wild card here. I'm not sure what I would say about you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess fantasy is like a hole in my reading. I'm curious about it, but I don't know. It's like hard to know what to... Because I've read, you know, I guess I've read Tolkien. I really like the Harry Potter series. But like, I don't really know who I should be reading or like who asked me to name like famous contemporary fantasy authors. I don't know where to... I no names come to mind.
Right.
Thinking back to my, I guess, early reading development in high school and maybe into college, I read a lot of Mark Twain. And I remember really enjoying A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
Yeah.
Just for like all of the bitter humor in that book.
Yeah.
Where if memory serves, like the protagonist, like he is somehow he gets knocked on the head and he goes back in time. He's like in, obviously in King Arthur's court, and he has like some kind of showdown with Merlin.
Yeah.
And if memory serves, he somehow figures out how to make weapons from his time.
Yes.
Back in that time.
Yeah.
Chaos ensues. So that might be it. I don't know if this counts or not, but I also really liked David Mitchell's Cloud Atlas.
Hmm.
Does that feel like fantasy?
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I haven't read it, but it sounds to me like fantasy sci-fi hybrid kind of, right?
Is there fantasy in it or is it just historical? I haven't read it, but I thought it was historical.
There's like different time periods.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
there's like a fantasy future one, right? Or like a sci-fi future one out there. And there's like a kind of barbarian one kind of or something. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Dave, you tell us. You read
the there's book. Different time periods and interesting structure, but definitely stuff that is not, I don't know, reality based or however you might want to say that.
Right.
Definitely do not start by watching the movie.
Yeah, that movie got tagged for the yellow face.
Hot trash.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it seems like a hard movie to film. They made some weird choices in making it. Yeah, like Dave, I don't read a lot of fantasy. When I did when I was a kid, that was my sweet spot, was when I was in like middle school, end of like fifth grade into like ninth grade is when I was reading a lot of fantasy. I discussed this before on the podcast. I wrote a letter to Cynthia Voigt, who was a fantasy author who I liked her book, and now I can't. It's called Jacko Pierce or something like that. That's not what it is, but something similar. I enjoyed that one. And of course, like, yeah, Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, the Witch, Wardrobe. I read that stuff. I liked The Lord of the Rings, obviously, too. I'm trying to think of more recent examples. I don't have many. I think of, you know, even in comics, which is kind of where I do most of my genre exploration, I don't seek out fantasy. It's just not, it never has really, hasn't spoken to me since I was younger. But there's one series that did that I do think sort of fits the bill pretty well. It's called Joe the Barbarian, and it's a Grant Morrison comic from, gosh, like 15 years ago, something like that, maybe 12 years ago. It is drawn by Sean Gordon Murphy, who's a great illustrator and has become a writer in his own right, too. Premise is that there's this kid, Joe, this would, I guess, be low fantasy, who is diabetic, and he's home alone, and he, like, something happens, he's depressed, something has happened in his family life, maybe, and he sort of, like, he forgets to take his insulin, and he's going into a diabetic coma, and he's trying to find something to, like, some sort of sugar to eat to help him regulate. As he starts to fade out of consciousness, he has this sort of kind of fantasy that all his action figures around him have come to life, and he enters this sort of fantasy realm where he's like the hero of the world, and he's, you know, being aided by sort of like stand-ins for like characters from Transformers and He-Man and stuff like that. It's a good kind of like swashbuckling adventure that goes back and forth between his adventures in this sort of fantasy, you know, kind of Saturday morning cartoon toy realm, and then flashing back to the present where he's, you know, about to die, basically. It's a good sort of, plays the time really well, but it also has really good fun adventure elements that sort of fit the fantasy vein pretty well. I really recommend Joe the Barbarian. It's a really fun read if you're looking for a quick, you know, issue series. It goes down really easily, and it's a really good one. Well, listeners, those are our fantasy picks. Tell us yours. You can email us your thoughts at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Patreon, patreon.com/yakbabies, where you can access our bonus podcast. We have all kinds of stuff there. For $1 a month, you can get our Bread and Book conversations and the games we're playing. And just kind of like, I don't know, all kinds of fun stuff. There's a whole separate series about ghost jokes and then one about pickle jokes. We really sort of like took it, you know, embraced the under appreciators or underexplored realm of joke criticism. We're there doing the hard work. Again, for a dollar, you can also talk to us there. You can post in the forums and we'll respond to your questions and thoughts and so on. And then we have our merch store, tinyurl.com/yakbabies, where you can get our merch. There's designs that Brick has done that are really funny, and they go well on mugs and posters and t-shirts and all kinds of stuff. So check those out. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all the loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, Gilbert, and William Howard Taft.